Let me invite you to get your Bibles and turn with me, if you would, to the New Testament book of Jude. We're going through this little book, and it has so much significance because Jude is writing in his day and time about something that you and I need to be conscious of, and that is false teaching, false teachers. And so he is very, very adamant in what he has to say. Now, let me ask you a question. What is your responsibility in keeping the church pure? That is, in making sure that the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God is exactly that, the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. It is amazing how many churches all over the world have drifted away from true teaching and preaching. The story of Christmas is so filtered with so many things, and so many people don't really understand what the meaning of Christmas is all about. But you and I have a responsibility before God to not only listen carefully, learn carefully, grow seriously, and grow spiritually, but we need to be serious about, you know, what type of teaching or preaching is done in the house of the Lord Jesus Christ, in His church. It is a serious affront to the character of God when there is false teaching and false preaching. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what this small book is all about. It's not a small book by any means, but it only has one chapter. But it carries a great deal because there is so much when it comes to false teaching and false preaching. There are so many who are out in the world that are standing behind a pulpit, rather, and they're propagating something, they're proclaiming something, but that something is not truth. So I want you to follow along in verses 8 through 12, and tonight we're going to look at the character of false teachers. Listen to Jude's words. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominions, and speak evil of dignities. Yes, Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they speak with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withered without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Well, Jude is giving an emphatic declaration about those who are false and not legitimate, but you need to understand, and we all need to understand, what is the character of false teachers? Now, just because a person stands behind a pulpit, you've heard me say this over and over and over again, does not necessarily mean that he is true, that he is legitimate. But you need to always ask this question: what is he teaching? What is he preaching? Does it advance the kingdom of God? Is it in line with the truth of Scripture? And the truth about it is, and I say this, and I say this in love, but I also say this in seriousness, it's amazing how many people are ignorant of the Word of God. It's amazing, and I can tell you this. Now, there are going to be more churches that are going to fall down the road. There are going to be a lot more churches that split. There's going to be a lot more churches who fall apart. You say, "Pastor, why?" Because the reality of it is those sitting in the pews don't know what they believe, so they can't ever hold accountable that person who's teaching and preaching. And in the end, there's going to be so much more division. You're going to hear about it. You're already hearing about it, but it's going to be even amplified more and more down through the ages. Well, I want you to get you a pencil and a piece of paper out because I just want to give you some characteristics of a false teacher. You need to know them. You need to know whenever you listen to somebody, he's not authentic. I need to turn him off, or this person's not authentic. This person is real. And you see, when a church has a teacher who is consistently a false teacher, preacher, then they're literally listening to an agent of Satan. You know, think about it for a moment. You wouldn't ever listen to Satan, you wouldn't think. You wouldn't ever listen to Lucifer. But the truth about it is every person who is not teaching the truth, listen, there's only truth or there's a lie. You can't put them together. In other words, if something is half true, it still makes it a lie. So Jude is making it very clear. He was wanting to write unto them about salvation. He was wanting to write unto them about the common faith they had in the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, he said, I wanted to, but I see something else happening on the horizon in the fellowship. And so he says, I'm writing to you in order that you can be exhorted, that you can contend for the faith and that was once forever delivered to the saints, back in verse 3. Well, what is the character of false teachers? Now, in verses 8 through 12, he gets into detail, but I just want to give you a few of these in these next few moments. First of all, whenever you look in verse 8, the Bible says, they're filthy dreamers, they defile the flesh, they despise dominions, they speak evil of dignities. One characteristic of false teachers is this: they will engage in immorality. Now, sometimes you'll hear about some preacher or some teacher falling by the wayside, but the reality of it is that's exactly what has happened after they have been found out. You know, sometimes you'll hear something on TV that this person was caught embezzling or doing this, and he's part of a large denomination and so forth. Well, here's the reality. Jude is making this very emphatic. He says, we need to understand that a false teacher, a false preacher, it is by nature part of them to engage in immorality. He says this, they're filthy dreamers. Now, I can't tell you what's going on the inside of your mind right now, but I can tell you this, it will eventually come out. Whatever is going on the inside of you, it will someday, somewhere, sometime come out. And that's exactly what Jude is saying when he's talking about these. He says, they're filthy dreamers. You may not have known about it. You may not have heard about it. They may have been disclosed for a season of time. But there is going to come a time that false teachers are exposed. And you may say, well, you know, I know one in my own life, or I know somebody back years ago, I never dreamed he would do this, or I never dreamed that person would do it. But Jude said, here's the reality. He said, part of the nature of their being is they're dreamers. Now, you know, a dreamer is somebody who just makes up all sorts of things, and really part of false teaching is they make up all sorts of things they say to people. Let me ask you a question. What right do I have to say anything that is not a part of this precious book? I have zero right to say anything that is not exhorting and being guided by the truth of the Word of Scripture. Amen? I can't tell you something that's half true or partially true or three quarters true. I need to know in my soul, Lord, that's what your word says, and of course that's what you want admonished to your people. And so what Jude is reminding these saints of God, he says, I want you to understand, they don't even struggle to keep their thoughts clean. You know, a false teacher, they don't even struggle to keep their thoughts clean. In other words, they may say something publicly. They may praise God publicly, or they may say this or that, but in private, you'd be surprised what they do in private. You'd be surprised what they're involved in behind closed doors. You'd be surprised what they're involved in the privacy of their own heart, in their own home. You'd be surprised. And that's why, you know, you listen to people that are falling and say, well, what happened? It was only because after a period of time. And you see, you know, that's exactly what Jude is saying. They lust after things in this world, and that's exactly what false teachers are all about. You know, they're not interested in telling you about Jesus Christ. They're not interested about telling you how to have your sins forgiven. They're not interested in honoring God with their life, with their character, with their integrity. They're not interested in telling you how to walk a pure life. You listen to teachers on TV today, and you listen to them, and ask yourself this question. What does he tell me about living a pure life? What does he tell me about guarding my life and guarding my integrity? Paul the Apostle said it this way, guard your life and your doctrine carefully. But you don't hear preachers saying that a lot of times on TV. Now, I'm not talking about people like Charles Stanley, Adrian Rogers, and Billy Graham. You know those are men who've stood the test of time. But you listen to what they're saying. They don't tell you to guard your doctrine and your integrity. Listen. All it's done in different avenues and different ways. It's just a different style of name it and claim it and get it. Why? Because we're selfish by nature. And you know why one of the, there's some that are quote unquote churches that they are growing by leaps and bounds. Let me tell you why. I want you to listen to me real carefully. Anything that feeds the flesh will grow, and it will grow fast. It will absolutely skyrocket. And sadly, so many Christians are taken in by those things that are skyrocketing, and taking off. Let me ask you a question. How many disciples did Jesus have after 3 years, and he was God in the flesh? How many did he have? 12. And one of them was a devil. And you see, sometimes we look at, man, that place is growing fast. That church is really booming. They're really doing something. Ask yourself this question. What are they teaching? Are they teaching to feed the flesh, or are they teaching to feed the spirit? There is something radically wrong. And you've said, I've had people come to me and say, you know, I went in there and I left worse than when I went in. Talking about going to some particular place. But when you go to the house of God, Jesus said, feed the flock of God to the shepherd. The under shepherd is to study the word, to feed the flock of God. So Jude made it very clear. And he said, they degrade their bodies. Listen, a false teacher, there's no such thing as self-control. Appetite, 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 selfishness, selfishness, get. And that's why they don't want to lose people. Here's the thing about it. If you have 30,000 followers, you've got 30,000 wallets. If you've got 30,000 wallets, you don't want to say anything that will offend those wallets. If you've got 40,000, you've got 40,000 wallets. So you got to be careful. You can't preach on those things that will offend the wallet. Let me ask you a question. What does Jesus tell us to preach? Preach the word, the truth. Preach the word. And so that's exactly what false teachers are all about. And, I've heard this on TV. I just happen sometimes to turn on and listen to some. You know, God told me to do this, and God told me to do that. And I don't want to be disrespectful of that. But then the next thing I'm going to ask is, okay, how does it line up with the word of God? Now, let me say this. God will never tell you to do something that's inconsistent with his word. I have a preacher friend. This is what he shared with me some years ago. He said, had a man who came in my office, and he'd, if I called his name, you'd know who he is, the preacher that is. And he said, I had a man who came in my office, and he said, Pastor, the Lord has just told me to divorce my wife. Now, he said, I doubt if the Lord told him to do that. That might have just been a personal testimonial out of some things that he might have been going through. But here's my point. The Lord will never lead you and me to do something that contradicts the truth of the Word of God. And so, first and foremost, false teachers, not only do they engage in immorality, but second of all, they reject authority. Now, whenever you look at verse 9, there's part of that that's very difficult to understand and difficult to get into, and we won't get into that. But when you look at the very last part of verse 9, the Bible says that when Michael the archangel was contending with the devil, he didn't even dispute the body of Moses, but the Bible says that he didn't even bring a charge against him, but he said, the Lord rebuked thee. In other words, there is a sense in the kingdom of God, there is even a sense in the very Godhead itself of rank. For example, there is functional subordination in the Godhead. There is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's been that way for all of eternity. It will always be that way for all of eternity because that's just the way the Godhead is. And there's that sense that, you know, there's rank and command. You know, the Bible says that he made the angels a little lower, and of course he made mankind a little lower than the angels. And so the reality of it is, though, here's the point. One of the things that false teachers do not like, and they do not want, and they will not have, they don't like authority. They don't want somebody telling them what to do. Now, I'm not talking about I'm talking about that sense of accountability. You see, here's the reality. You know, they talk about freedoms and rights and all that because part of it is I don't want anybody to know what I'm doing. The Bible makes it very clear that there is a sense that there's accountability. Why are we accountable? Because you always want to be transparent. You want to be transparent in everything you do. And so, you know, when false teachers are called into accountability, they don't like it. Why? They don't like to be exposed. As a matter of fact, for example, a false teacher is up teaching. Don't you question what I'm going to say will be what a false teacher says. You just listen to what I'm saying. No, don't you just listen to what they're saying. God gave you a mind. God expects you to use your mind. And one of the things that I tell you from time to time as I'm teaching, you always compare what I'm saying. Make sure it always lines up with the truth. Why? Because a preacher will always say that. There'll always be that forthrightness and that accountability. But here's the reality. False teachers just simply reject authority. And the thing about it is, it's their inner disposition. They don't want to be told what to do, just like Lucifer in the very beginning. He didn't want God to tell him what to do. I'm going to rise above God. I don't want God telling me what to do. I don't want God telling me what I'm to do. And, of course, you know what happened, that Satan and a third of the angels were cast out of heaven because he didn't want anybody to tell. Now, listen carefully. The reality of it is false teachers are in league with Satan. Now, you may say, well, now that's pretty curt. Here's the reality. When false teachers teach people to believe something that leads them to doom and to damnation, you know they're not in league with God. Amen? Because the Bible makes it very clear that every one of us are going to leave this world, and what we've done with Jesus Christ is going to be all that matters. But that's not what false teachers will say. False teachers will say, well, now there's a God in heaven who loves you, and somehow, some way, someday, everybody's going to get to heaven. There's only one problem. That's a lie. And it's straight out of hell. Defies the holiness of God and denies the holiness of God. So, first of all, you and I need to understand that false teachers engage in immorality. They reject authority. And thirdly, they scoff at the spiritual world and speak of things they have absolutely no understanding. You know, since a false teacher, the Bible says, literally is in league with Satan, one of the things that a false teacher will never do, he'll never talk about wickedness. He'll never talk about ungodliness. Listen to some teachers you think that are really on top of things. Ask yourself, why don't they ever say a thing about ungodliness? Because keep in mind now, you have 20,000 people, 30,000 people, 10,000, 5,000. You've got 5,000 wallets and purses, so you can't offend those. Listen. The issue about being the servant of God, being the man of God, being the woman of God, the issue is not offending other people, but offending our Lord and Savior. And so Scripture makes it very clear. And so a false teacher will tell you what you like to hear, you know, because it's all about self. One of the things that just almost is nauseating and sickening when you listen, it's all about self. It's all about self, you know, name it and claim it. You've got favor with God. And what about the reason God created us? You were created not for yourself. You were created for God. You were created to bring honor and glory to Him by the way you live, by the way you walk, by the way you talk. Think about it for a moment. If you walk and act like the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be a little girl or a little boy that is going to be absolutely turned on to Jesus Christ because of you. The story is told of this little boy in Sunday school class some years ago. And teacher was asking the class, now does anybody know where Jesus lives? And this little boy raised his hand, said, I know. He lives on my street three doors down. You know what that little boy was saying? There is somebody that I link to Jesus on my street. Now let me ask you a question. Do you link anybody to Jesus Christ? Do you link anybody to the Lord by your life? In other words, you draw them. There's that attractiveness by your life. Well, that's not the case of a false teacher. Now, I'm not saying they look bad and they look terrible as far as the physical appearance, but here's the reality. They scoff at the things of God. They scoff at spiritual things. You know, this idea of needing the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you of all sin, this idea of needing forgiveness, they scoff at that. As a matter of fact, back in the earliest centuries, in the first and second centuries, when Scripture is talking about the blood of Christ and the body, there were some back in that day that thought that early Christians believed in cannibalism. Why? Because they didn't understand. They didn't understand what, because they thought here, drinking of flesh, that's a sign of a cannibal. They were ignorant of what the truth was. And here's the reality. When false teachers teach, they don't teach about anything they understand or know. Sometimes I listen to somebody, and I heard somebody not too long ago, and I thought, you don't have a foggiest clue what you're saying. I couldn't help but just listen to them. I thought, you don't even know what you're talking about. You don't know the things of God. You have no clue about the things of God. You don't know about a God who's in heaven that loves you, that cares about you, that gave his son's blood to die for your sins. And that's what Christmas is all about. And they don't. And you see, the truth about it is you're to guard your life and doctrine carefully. You're not to let them put that junk in you. You're not to live in a world that you partake of junk. Now imagine if I said, you know, after service tonight, we're going to go out to the garbage can and we're going to have supper. You'd say, not me. And I'm right behind you. I wouldn't be there either. But you know what? There's enough people who eat the junk of the world. The junk teaching. Why? Because it's packaged so wonderfully. Have you ever noticed in stores things are packaged so wonderfully? You take the wrapping off of chocolate and it's black or brown. But you look at it on the shelf and it's orange and it's red and it's neon and it's all these different colors. But you take the packaging off of a Hershey Kiss and it's just a little black thing right there. Nothing elaborate about it. Why? Packaging is everything. Now listen to me very carefully. In the world of darkness where Satan is king, packaging is everything. The facilities have to look immaculate. They have to be wonderful. Why? To get people to listen and believe and fall hook, line, and sinker. How do you catch a good fish? How do you catch a bass? How do you catch a catfish? You have to have good bait. And that's exactly what Satan is doing in the world. He has got good bait and good and wonderful fake teachers. They are schooled, they are educated, they are eloquent, but here's the reality. You believe it and you're believing a lie that is damaging and damning and eternally dooming. And that's exactly what Jude was concerned about and ought to be what you and I are concerned about. You see, the Bible says that they're just brute beast. Now that sounds pretty harsh, but here's the reality. They don't care. Now, think about this for a moment. You take a brute beast in the animal kingdom, and all it cares about is devouring its prey. It's not concerned about that prey. Could care less about that prey. That's why, and I want you to listen to me real carefully, and I say this in loving kindness. That's why sometimes a pastor, quote unquote, person will be called to pastor a church. 6 months later, that church is ripped halfway down the seams because he had no care for that church because he's not true and legitimate. A true pastor, a true servant of God, cares for the flock of God, cares for the people of God, but not a false teacher. It doesn't matter if it's ripped down the seams. And so, you know, the reality of it is, they're brute beasts. Now think about this. Here's a brute beast out in the fields of Africa. Here's a lion. And all of a sudden, it just jumps on this other animal and just tears it to shreds. Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully. A lot of what we see on TV is nothing but brute beast. And here's what they say, and it's really getting slick. Now, you want your blessing. You just let us have your... I'm serious. You just let us have your Visa, Discover, American Express, or MasterCard, and you come over and lay your hands on the TV and we'll give you a blessing. Now listen to me real carefully. Listen carefully. Blessing has never come by laying your hands on something. Blessing always comes through a personal obedience to the Lord God Almighty. Period. Exclamation point. Exclamation point. Here's what Samuel said. To obey is better than sacrifice. And that's why you and I need to be conscious. Somebody says, well, you know what? I just want a blessing. Okay, start obeying. Is it that bad yet? It's like obedience is a bad word. I tell you what, I found out as a kid when I would obey mom and dad, it's amazing what didn't happen to me. It's amazing what didn't happen to my body. It's amazing that I could go to bed and I didn't have to have a beating. You know what I'm talking about. I like what Mark Lowry said. He said, you know what? He said, for some reason or other, I could never go to bed without having my beating. I had to have my beating every night. And, you know, his dad come up to his room and he said, son, it's about time to half kill you. You know, because he talks about all things. But listen, that's exactly, and when you obey, there's blessings. And so here's the reality. And that's what brute beasts are. They don't want anything for you. They don't want anything for your life. It's all about self. It's all about them getting and them getting and them getting and them getting. And they could care less whatever happens to your life. That is not a servant of God. That is not a man of God. That's not a person of God. They are fake, phony facades. And the Bible says God will deal with them in that day. And so you and I need to be very conscious, because they don't speak of things they know. They're ignorant. They're ignorant of what's awaiting them. And as far as converting them, you're not going to convert them. Here's why. Man, they're doing good the way they are, and they've got money coming in. It's very difficult to convert rich people. I like what I heard Andy Stanley say one time, because I can't hardly imagine life any better than what they've got it. But we know that there is a life far better than you could have on this earth. Well, number four, false teachers, they're just simply filled with the spirit of rebellion. Now, in verse 11, it says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." Now, here's the reality. A false teacher does not believe God, doesn't believe his word, and doesn't practice it. And so, in their own mind, there's any sort of ways to heaven. There's, not just one way. A false teacher may speak of his love for God, but here's what happens. There's no love for God. They can't love God because it's not inside of them. And, a false teacher will never preach the blood of Jesus Christ. You've heard me say that. And because inwardly there's that spirit of rebellion. The Bible makes it very clear. And whenever you talked about Cain was rebellious. Why are people rebellious? Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully. I'm going to give you a real scientific reason why people are rebellious. Why are people rebellious against God? They choose to be. You and I are where we are by choice. You say, well, now, partly it's because of the way I was raised by my parents. Yeah, but there's a time you had a choice. You had a choice of what you would do with your life. You had a choice of how you would live. You had a choice how you would believe. You had a choice of what you would allow yourself to grow into. And so, and that's exactly what Jude is saying. These false teachers, listen, they're not only rebellious, but the Bible says they're motivated by the world and not by God's grace. Now, what's so sobering is this. What's going to matter when all the world is gone? You heard me say it this morning, heaven and earth will pass away. So get ready, we're getting out of here. We are. I stop and think, now, Lord, I'm ready anytime for the rapture. Now, we don't need to do like what they did back in the first century. They quit their jobs and went out on the mountain and stayed around for a while. You starve to death after a period of time if the Lord doesn't come. Now, he could come today. And I don't know but what he might come today and snatch us away. The Bible makes it very clear that there's going to be a catching away. The Bible says it in Thessalonians and points it to it. John chapter 14 even declares Jesus said, "I'm going to come and receive them." Well, that's a catching away. Well, here's the point. False teachers are simply motivated by this world. They're not motivated. Listen to what they say. There's never a desire to obey God, to please God. They're not motivated by grace. They have no difficulty preaching success and money and this, but they'll never preach about sacrifice. Well, now it may be sacrifice so you can give to their ministry. Now you give and give and give, and if you just have $10 to live on, that's all right. That's sacrifice. You just keep feeding my ego. That's what it's all about. And that's exactly what Jude is talking about. They're motivated by the world system. Why? Because the world is under the control of Satan. The Bible says Satan is the prince and the power of the air. And he's on this earth. We shouldn't be surprised. Satan's not in hell yet. I never will forget the first time I heard that. I said, whoa, now wait a minute. The Bible says that Satan was cast to earth. And the Bible says that he roams the what? Roams the earth. Seeking whom he may devour. So he's not in his banishment location yet. That time is to come. So what he's doing, he's raising up false teachers and false preachers and false prophets. I got a pamphlet some years ago, you know, why the Lord's going to come. 88 reasons why the Lord's going to come in 1988. Well, the Lord didn't come. I don't know where that person is, but he might have changed the dates and all that. But here's the point. There is that motivation by the world system. And then lastly, false teachers, they just simply seek to please themselves. You know, the Bible says in verse 12, listen carefully to what it says. Look back there for just a moment. In verse 12, there are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withered, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. In other words, they're continually feeding themselves. Have you ever seen somebody gorge themselves? Don't answer that question. But it's almost like seeing a person just taking both hands and just gorging all they can, all they can. And here's the reality. That's the nature of a false teacher. Why? Because at the very backdrop of his root system is not God. The very core of his being is not a relationship with God, but in reality is a relationship with the enemy of God. Now, they won't ever say they're in league. Satan will never say that. But that's exactly what takes place. And he said, they're spots. They're empty. They're unstable. And what I do, I sometimes listen to people who watch some of these that call themselves preachers. And I listen to their life. Sometimes I'll have a chance to ask them, what does that person believe? Well, I don't know, but he sure sounds good. But there's that instability. And Jesus makes it very clear through James. He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed, unstable. And you see, here's the reality. If you feed, if you listen to people who are not in the truth, then that will become a part of your being. It's no wonder why families are being uprooted, why families are being plagued with all sorts of things and imbalance and all sorts of problems. Because think about it for a moment. There's a God in heaven who loves mankind, and think about this for a minute. There's churches all over the earth that if people would listen to the true preachers of the Word of God, their lives would be changed. It's not that they're perfect preachers by any stretch of the imagination, but listen, what I personally have to say won't do you any good. But when I have the Word of God backing what I say, that does us all good because it's His Word. It's His truth. And so that's exactly what Jude is saying. He said they're carried away. They're blemishes. They profess to be teachers. They may say something about God. And they'll use the name God. But watch carefully how they won't use the name Jesus. Jesus is very convicting. Jesus is very compelling. Because here's the reality about it. At the name of Jesus, God has decreed every knee on the face of the earth that has existed or will ever exist will bow to the glory of God to the Father. Now, I want to ask you this question in closing. What are you building on? Are you building on truth? Or are you allowing yourself to be swayed by things that sound pretty, things that sound really attractive to the ear, but they don't have any litmus test of solid foundation? You can't sink your teeth in it. The truth about it is the storms are going to come. What we have built is all that will last. Father, thank you so much for your word, for the truth of your word. And Father, you remind us to build our life on the rock. Because the reason is the storms are coming, the winds are going to blow and beat against the house of our being. And Lord, it's going to be serious business to turn away from you. Father, I pray that we would all be serious in what we allow ourselves to digest and take in. You have given us a command to learn and to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have given us a command to put your word in our mind. You have given us a command. And Lord, may it be a part of our being, a part of our living. Father, for that person tonight who may need to come, your will be done. Draw them to you, in Jesus I pray. Amen.